Welcome to Straight Talk on Health with Dr. Vincent Medici. Knowing that ultimately it's God who does the healing, Dr. Medici acts as the maestro, orchestrating a person's health through right timing and right therapies, using traditional, natural, alternative, and spiritual practices. Dr. Medici says it's time for people to wake up to their innate potential to heal and to be given a doctor who can orchestrate that healing. Dr. Medici is currently working toward his PhD in biochemistry at Long Beach University, with additional study in acupuncture, kinesiology, and quantum medicine. He's the curriculum director of the Santa Monica Shiatsu School. And now, here's Dr. Medici.
Good morning. I'm Dr. Vincent Medici. Good morning, Los Angeles. Good morning, America. Good morning, the world. I am here once again to start Dental Series Part 3 with my good friend and my favorite dentist, Dr. Randolph Aguilera. We're going to hit it on root canals tonight. Doc, I know you have a lot to say.
Thank you, Dr. Medici. Yes, this is really an interesting subject, to say the least.
Yeah, we chewed it out last night.
And yeah, we did.
We may have to do this in two parts. There's so much. But why? Because someone in the audience today, I am sure, eating breakfast is sitting there and you just bit down on a tooth and it hurts. And that tooth has been root canaled and it still hurts. And you're scared because you think you're going to need to get it pulled. Hopefully that's not the case. But if that's you, make sure you listen to this show today. The other thing is, some of you have a problem with your tooth. It hurts. It comes and it goes. Occasionally it's sensitive to hot, it's sensitive to cold, but it's okay. It's not enough for you to go running to a dentist, and that's the mistake you make. On both levels, why? Not enough education, and I think Dr. A and I can certainly relate to your concern about the education, because I think even last night I got an education, and you had to rethink a few things. So this is a never-ending, it's probably, would you say, about the most controversial or one of the most controversial subjects in dentistry?
Absolutely. Even within traditional dentistry, it's controversial to a point in some circles, but between certainly traditional dentists and dentists who are looking for alternative options, absolutely.
That's been my experience. I mean, we did tooth decay, show one. We did the crowns, show two. That was kind of black and white. I think we did a great job. I think we laid it out. I think our audience received it beautifully. Now we're going to get into a more complicated topic. So, guys, definitely listen hard today. Make sure you get on the website, straighttalk.cc, not .com, straighttalk.cc. The pictures will mean so much more today. Really quick, Doc, I'm just going to roll out the anatomy really quick. Troops, picture number one. Look at picture number one. Simply want to say, if you're looking at that picture, down the center there is what we call the canal of the tooth. That canal, which has a venous supply, meaning a blood supply that drains that area, a blood supply, the arterial, that's the red, that supports the area and sends blood, a nerve, thus the word root canal, and we'll get into that, and also a lymphatic supply. And all of that ends up in the pulp cavity. If you look at the word pulp on that picture, just above it is that squarish area where you see like branches that are different colored. That's the pulp chamber. So you've got the canal of the tooth. Now here's my point, the root of the tooth. What do we mean by the root of the tooth? Go to picture number three. Those prongs, those legs on the tooth are what we call the roots of the tooth. Doc, that's three or four roots for this tooth.
Absolutely.
Is that three or four roots, that big one over here?
Actually, that's just a spike off of that. Now, that looks like an upper molar, and an upper molar traditionally will have, an upper first molar will traditionally have three roots, one big one on the palate and two on the cheek side. So that could be even the way as many roots as you see. That's probably a wisdom tooth because it's anomalous.
See, this is what I love. You were doing this last night. You just look at the tooth and talk for 5 hours. I only know it's one of the back teeth, but that's three roots.
Exactly.
Okay, let's have the audience look at picture number four. Again, this is three roots on a tooth. Doc, could you talk about that one that's on the top there that's got, it looks like it's sticking up?
Yeah, that's exactly. No, that is definitely an upper first molar because there's three roots on that. The big one on the front, toward the front of the picture. That's
three legs.
The three legs. The big leg that sticks out toward the front, that is the palatal root. That goes up on the roof of the mouth, the palate. The other two are nasty because those are really hooked and curved.
Ah,
those are
hooked
on the cheek side.
And this is later on, guys, where I'm going to talk to you about why you have to get a superb dentist, why you need a very skilled endodontist. Because that curving, is there a technical term for the curved?
A
curved root.
It's just a curved root.
That's a much tougher root to deal with.
Absolutely.
But let me get back to the anatomy. So those three prongs, those three legs, those three roots are stuck in your bone and connected to your bone by the periodontal ligament. That's why your teeth don't fall out, because those three legs are stuck by a ligament inside your mouth. That's the basic anatomy. Now, let's go back to picture one so you guys can get oriented. Better yet, let's go to picture two. Now, you're looking at picture two, and now I want you to make sure that you're oriented. Those legs, you're looking at sort of like a section there. We split the tooth down the side. That's called a carinal split on the tooth.
Yeah, cross-section.
Yeah.
Crown.
And you're looking into the tooth, and there are those legs stuck in the bone. Now, the center of it there, where you see those, that yellow and that red, so on and so forth, that's the canal. And you know where the root is. It's around the canal. So let's get a picture up of what happens when you go in for a root canal. Let's look and take a look at what this looks like. So we're going to come down over here.
You're going in for a treatment of that root canal.
Exactly. And it's gotten infected. And that infection, okay, here's picture number 13. So go to picture 13, blow it up. It's a tiny picture. You're going to look at a perfect representation here of a what? A tooth that's been decayed. And, Doc, do you want to continue?
The tooth has been decayed. So in the coronal or top portion, the crown part of the tooth, you can see the decay has gone through the tooth and has eaten out, if you will, the top part of the crown of the tooth. And that decay now has finally gotten to the pulp chamber that you mentioned earlier. Now, once you have decay, that means into the pulp chamber, you have now infection of the pulp chamber, the pulp, with the bacteria from that decay. Now that pulp starts to die on you. Now, even if you have the decay to
I'm going to cut in for one
sure.
second. Dr. A, you just said something. The pulp is starting to die. You, there, in the audience, that's getting that occasional twinge, that occasional ping, that occasional throb, that occasional message from your body, your pulp cavity very often is infected to the point where you're starting to kill the nerve. Stop it there. This is where you have to go in and make a move. Teeth are sneaky. They give you little hints. And if you don't listen to them, it's bad. And this is how you lose teeth. This is how when you go in for the big root canal, you have a poor outcome because you've let these little pings go so long. Doc, I cut you off.
No, not a problem. What I was thinking is that you have to remember that when you start to feel those first symptoms, that's because the decay is now starting to communicate to the pulp, to the nerve, before it actually accesses or gets to the
nerve.
And
that's the inflamed pulp on
the
root.
That's the early warning system. So it's the early warning system of the tooth that's letting you know you need some attention and you need some attention now. But if you have decay, and we can see this on X-ray, we have a couple of radiographs later we'll look at, but when you have decay into the pulp so that you now have a direct communication of the decay into the pulp chamber, it's too late. And it doesn't make any difference. In this picture, it looks like the pulp and the nerve going down the root on the left-hand side is infected. If the left-hand side's infected, you can be sure that the right-hand side is going to be infected as well. So when you do a root canal treatment, I'm asked all the time, do I need to do a root canal treatment on both roots? Because the left side, I understand, is infected. Yes, you have to do it on both sides because
And what you're saying is that all three roots legs communicate with each other.
Exactly.
And, if you're infecting one leg, that bacteria is going to travel throughout the rest of it.
Exactly. So the whole thing has to be treated.
One down. Fortunately, we're not like that. If I have an infection in my left leg, you may take my left leg, but I'll still have a good right leg.
That's correct.
Not so with the tooth. They're finicky. That's why you have to catch it in early stage. Now, at a certain point in the beginning, that message you're getting, that occasional twinge, that mild irritation that comes and goes, if you catch it then, it may be reversible. But once you see that abscess down on the bottom, once it goes that far, then you have a problem. And you're going to know you have that problem. Now, we're going to discuss with Dr. Aguilera some of the steps, some of the diagnostic procedures that he uses and that I also think are good. We're going to talk about the shades of gray with these diagnostic procedures. In other words, how do you know it's a root canal and not, and we're going to get into this, inflammation of the periodontal ligament, which very often masks a root canal. Rather, the root canal is, I should say it like this. You may think it's the nerve root that's infected and it's the periodontal ligament. You may think it's the nerve root that's infected and it's just that your bite is off and you've inflamed the periodontal ligament. You may think it's the root of the tooth and it's just dented. You may think it's an abscess or a procedure that necessitates a root canal and it's simply that you have dentin exposure and you're intermittently inflaming the canal. And he's going to talk about the diagnostic procedures in a moment. So, let's take a look at some of the radiographs. Let's take a look at what you'd say about this. So, gang, go to picture number 21. Go to picture 21. I want you to get oriented. When you go to a dentist and he x-rays your teeth and he sees this, this is what he might say. Doc, you go with this. Picture 21.
So picture 21 on the near the crown portion of the tooth, you see that green arrow. That's showing you that dark area on the by the green arrow. That's a definitive, that's a frank diagnosis of decay into the pulp chamber.
So they ate the bacteria ate the bone away.
The bacteria ate the tooth away. You can see the tooth supporting the crown. That white portion at the top is the crown. And so you can see where the green arrow was pointing. That's the area of decay. So the decay has got into the pulp chamber. This is not near the pulp chamber. This is actually into the pulp chamber. And how you can confirm that is by going down the root tip to the root tip there. You can see the blue arrows. The blue arrows are pointing to that dark circle. That tells us that we have less bone density there. And what causes less bone density in this situation? This is an abscess at the root tip. So this tooth is now a candidate for a root canal treatment procedure. But this is the one thing we have to watch out for. Look at the amount, back to the green arrow, look at the amount of that dark circle on the actual tooth and the proximity, how close it is to the level of the bone. If that decay goes below the level of the bone, yes, we can do a root canal treatment on it, but we're not going to be able to do a successful crown on it. And a posterior tooth like this is going to need to have a crown after the root canal treatment.
All right. So one thing for sure, when you see a patient and they're concerned about a tooth, if you see at the apical end, and apical end, guys, means the part that's stuck deep in your bone.
Around the root tip.
Where the blue is. Okay? If you see that circular black area, it means that the infection in the canal of the tooth went outside the canal. It went outside what we call the tip or the apical end, and the infection ate into the surrounding bone and made that big black circle. You would call that a frank lesion.
Correct.
It means you need a root canal.
No ifs, ands, or buts.
And I would say a good, what percentage of the time your patient will agree with you?
On this, I mean, yeah. You can clearly see this on the computer screen.
No, I don't mean from the picture.
Oh, from the
yeah, the patient may not understand the picture.
80% of the time, the patient's probably not going to have any symptoms with this. 20% of the time, they will. So 8 out of the 10 times, the patient's not going to feel this until you not understand this, because what will happen is they'll go, geez, I've been going to the dentist, and he's been taking bite wings, and the last couple
that's
of times.
That's interesting. I didn't think it was 80-20. That's because I'm very sensitive. So you're saying even with a frank lesion like that, 80% of the time the patient's not going to feel it.
Yeah, because,
or in a lot of times the patient won't feel
because
it.
Because what happens is by this stage, the nerve is already dead and gone. So it's not capable of giving you any symptoms. Prior to this, you probably felt some symptoms. Prior to this, you probably had a fistula, kind of a pimple on the gum area that released the gas.
I must be such a sensitive individual because I've got a number of root canals from you, and man, did I feel them, every single one of them. So here's my question to you. A patient comes in, they're not particularly symptomatic.
Correct.
You throw their x-rays up and see this radiolucency, and you might tell them, this is something to take a look at. This is what I like about you. If the patient still sticks to the old-fashioned rule, if I don't feel it, there's nothing wrong with it.
Correct.
Leave it alone. Because this is about $4,000 between the root canal and a new crown, so on and so forth.
Excellent.
And
you're correct.
If that patient wants to wait, and this is what I've always respected about you, what you'll do is say, listen, this looks like a frank lesion to me, but we're going to watch this. You see? We're going to watch it. I'd recommend that you do something, because this is really a frank lesion, but we can watch this if that's what you want to do. And you see, that gives the patient the choice.
Now, what we want to do on this particular radiograph, on this particular x-ray, there is no ifs, ands, or buts. We're not going to watch this. This we need to do, because if we don't intercede right away, sooner rather than later, the decay at the green arrow is probably going to go below the bone line, and we're not going to be able to save this tooth.
We had some
radiographs earlier that show us widened periodontal ligament space. And those are the ones that we can then try to determine, is the widened periodontal ligament space a cause by endodontic, meaning the issue is inside the tooth, in the nerve, in the pulp, or is it periodontic, meaning outside the tooth, simply an issue of the bone and the periodontal ligament around the tooth. But in this case, this tooth needs to be, we need to do something about this
because
now.
Of that decay especially, you're going to lose the tooth if you don't. So we have to
and
move
this patient
it.
Will probably come in, the symptoms. And this patient will probably report to me is, you know, Doc, I'm packing a lot of food in between these two crowns, in between those two molars, because that hole there catches food, and that's part of the problem that led to this issue. And that, if you can look between the two teeth, this is very, look at the green arrow, and right above the green arrow, you see where the two crowns meet? It's like you can see a space in between there. Those two teeth don't touch as well as they should. That was probably a light contact or even an open contact to begin with. So when those crowns were placed from the get-go, that patient probably packed food from the very, you know, the very beginning from day one, and that may have led to this issue that you see there now.
Okay, so we're going to close case on this. You have an x-ray taken, you're the patient, and you see that big radiolucency. Dr. A is saying this is a frank lesion, and you got to move on it. You shouldn't even wait. I always like to push the edge, but nonetheless, this is just so obvious, it's foolish to wait.
Yeah, not on this one, but let's take a look at some of the others. Yeah.
So let's go to this one over here.
Those are those two together. There we go.
Now, this one here, I want everyone to look at the tip or the end where this yellow circle is. Again, that's the apex of the root. Doc, this is one root tooth.
Correct.
Okay, so we've got one root. We don't have three legs, three prongs. We've got one. Now, we can all see this inside the yellow circle, this black area that contours the entire tip of the tooth. And this is what Dr. A was talking about earlier. This is truly a more ambiguous situation. And, Doc, I'll give it to you now.
Absolutely, because what you're looking at, if you look at the roots of the teeth next to it, the around the root tip, you don't see that kind of a dark outline. But on this particular tooth inside the yellow circle, you do see that dark outline. And what that is a widened periodontal ligament space. What does that mean? It means the fibers in that space have now become inflamed and they've swollen up. And when they do that, they push the tooth up out of the socket. So now the space between the root and the bone is now wider, and the x-ray, wherever it's less dense, it shows up as dark. So in this case, do we say that this tooth has a need for a root canal treatment?
And can this tooth feel like what you feel before a root canal.
Absolutely, because those periodontal ligaments, they have nerve endings that are just as sophisticated and more so than the nerve that's inside the tooth, because those nerves in the periodontal ligaments are part of the tooth's proprioception. They're extremely sensitive, extremely sophisticated. So they have to be able to pick up any kind of, it's the proprioception of the periodontal ligaments that allow you to be able to bite into an olive that's supposed to be pitted.
So if your bite's off, this is going to hurt?
Exactly. Because the periodontal ligaments are inflamed, and you're going to feel that pain.
If you've got gum disease, that ligament will inflame.
You could have caught a piece of food in between there, or a popcorn husk, or something along those lines jammed into the sulcus, into the space between the gum and the tooth, that has caused this irritation. So that inflammation that you see there, we don't know where that inflammation is, periodontal, meaning around the tooth, or endodontic. And that's why what we want to do is be conservative in this approach. We want to at least look at some of the history. It could be then, if this situation, patient took a pop, they were out in the playground or in a basketball game, and took an elbow to the mouth, that could lead to this that possibly then reverses.
You know, I hope the audience, and we're going to get into this much more later, appreciates why I have you on the show. Because you do take your time and give the most conservative approach first, if at all possible. Against which, and we're going to address this later, we have people saying that root canal teeth, in other words, teeth that have dead nerves, have no option but to be pulled. And I have seen over the last 20 years so many instances of people coming into my office and they're missing 4 to 5 teeth. They've got bridges all over the upper quadrants. And it's simply an opinion that said, you have an inflamed nerve root. It's dying. That tooth is no longer vital. And there's only one option here. We're yanking it out and throwing a bridge in. We'll discuss it later. I think this is a disaster. But it begins with that slam dunk approach that says, oops, you see on that x-ray, you've got some radiolucency, you've got pain in the tooth, let's yank that thing out. And it's not that way. So I loved, and always have loved, that you'll make these delineations.